Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our Wednesday evening midweek church service on this 25th day of July, 2018, almost to August. Time is going by quick. Good evening also to those that are joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, and glad to have you with us as we worship our God in spirit and in truth tonight. Our opening song is I Am Bound. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me?
All the transporting rapturous scene that rises to my sight, sweet fields arrayed in living green, and rivers of delight. I am bound for the promised land, and I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
No chilling winds or poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
When I shall reach that happy place, I'll be forever blessed. For I shall see my Father's face and in His bosom rest. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Filled with delight, my raptured soul would here no longer stay. Though Jordan's waves around me roll, fearless I'd launch away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Praise our God and Savior for coming soon. We're a day closer to seeing Him in the clouds of heaven, never more to part. And what a day that will be, dear ones. It's time for opening prayer, and so let us please bow our heads and our knees as we come before the throne of grace. Blessed Father in heaven, thank you for thy merciful kindness. Thank you for your divine protection and watchful care. Thank you for your love for each one of us, and for being willing to sacrifice all heaven in Jesus Christ, that we may be able to live with you forevermore and not be separated from you forever. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we give you full control of this room. We pray that thy presence will dwell among us, in the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well, to be abiding guests with us, and to have all darkness dispelled from our understanding and beliefs, and instead to be filled with the light of truth. And thank you so very much for helping us and for leading and guiding us in the way everlasting. Be with all of our church family. Please continue to work in their lives. Hear and answer their prayers. Draw them closer to thee, and ever more growing in grace, that Jesus might be revealed more and more through them to others, and this earth can be lighted with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Please hear and answer the prayers and petitions that have been offered here or by thy people all around the world. And thank you, Father, so much for doing so according to thy perfect will and timing, and always for our welfare. Be especially with those petitioning the Savior for healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, and especially be with our dear brother Willington, and heal whatever residual injuries he may have from the accident, and bring him back to perfect health and working again in thy precious cause. Thank you so much again for thy merciful kindness and for being here with us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And we're in Acts chapter 14 and verse 4. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Paul and Barnabas were speaking forward the truth, speaking it very boldly in the Lord. They were encountering opposition from the enemies of the faith that were sort of going along with them or following close behind and stirring up the unbelievers to sometimes getting the chief women to work upon their husbands, the rulers of the particular town or city, to intervene and try to stop the preaching of Jesus Christ. But the more that the enemies of the faith would come against the message of salvation, the greater the Lord worked in behalf of his people, and the message shone that much farther in intensity, that much more than it would have otherwise without the opposition. And that's how it will always be, because there's really nothing that the devil can do against the truth that will work to further the truth. And it reminds me of a martyr during the Inquisition that said, the more you spill our blood, the more seed that will rise or that will be planted to rise up and spread the message of salvation. So the more you mow us down, the more there'll be that rise up and take our place. We have God's word promising that such will take place. So even though we may lose our lives in God's cause, yet it's not really a loss. It's just a way to further the spreading of the gospel. God promises that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was given, and that is to seek and to save lost souls. So God worked in behalf of his messengers, including with signs and wonders, to arrest the attention of the people and to lead them to understand that God was endorsing his true message through his own works. So that's where we left off, and now we pick it up at verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. So the city became divided. What caused the division? The division was brought about by the preaching of the present truth for that time. So we see here that even though Christ is a Prince of Peace, yet he also brings a sword, the word of God, the message of salvation. And a sword is designed to cut something that was whole in half. So here this town was united, and the message of salvation came in and divided it. Some believed the message and sided with the messengers of God, the apostles. Others rejected the message and sided with the enemies of the gospel, which were the Jews. But it was the truth that brought about the division. And when you look at it closer, you'll discover that it was the decisions that the people made that brought them to choose one side or the other. And those that sided with the truth stood with the messengers of truth, just like Levi stood with Moses there at the golden calf apostasy. And those that rejected the truth sided with the enemies of the faith, just like what happened with the golden calf apostasy. People had to make their minds up who they really wanted to be with. There could be no more neutrality, no more riding the fence, no more compromise. There had to be a decision one way or another, for God or against him, for Baal or Jesus. And we can see that God's word brought about the decisions that needed to be made. So God's word brought about division between the light of truth and the darkness of error. Just like in the beginning, the earth was void, full of darkness, until God's word spoke light. Let there be light. And there was light. And then God divided the light from the darkness. So God's word, even in the very first day of this earth's history, brought about division. And his word is still bringing division. People have to choose to follow God's word of truth or the devil's word of error. And when the last person of this earth makes that decision, probation for the world will close. The great controversy will wind up. The plagues will fall. And then Christ will come to claim all of those who have chosen to follow him. So the same thing was taking place in this city until decisions were made. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? Amen. Who is on the Lord's side? Answer now the call. Amen.
And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth around about. And there they preached the gospel.
So here we see that the more the truth was preached, the more decisions were made for or against, and the more that sided against it became enraged to the point that they wanted to try and stop the message from going forth, including killing the messengers. So before there was no real decisions to kill Paul and Barnabas, but when they started preaching the truth and people were now forced to decide to follow it or reject it, those that chose to reject it were like awakened from their sleep. And they didn't like to be awakened by this message, and so they were going to do anything and everything they could, including murder, in order to stop the noise so that they could go back to sleep. The same thing's going to happen today. The more the loud cry goes forth, the more people are going to be awakened by that message, both good and evil. The good are going to follow it and praise God for waking them up. The wicked are going to wake up and curse God for the message. And they're going to do everything they can to persecute and even slay the messengers of the gospel, all so that they can go back to sleep. Now, the righteous aren't to go back to sleep. They're to continue forward with the message. They're to continue to further the spread of the light that wakes up both good and bad until the whole earth is filled with this light of the glory of God. So when God, through his providence, allowed Paul and Barnabas to realize that the wicked were planning on murdering them, God prepared a way for them to escape out of that city and go to Lystra and then to Derbe and then to the region round about those major cities, continuing to preach the gospel. So when they began to persecute them in one place, they followed Christ's instruction to leave that area and go to another place. So they didn't allow pride to come into the picture saying, I'm not leaving this place. I'm going to stay right here. I have every right to stay here. They didn't presumptuously endanger their lives, but they left that area, continuing to preach the gospel to others. It's the same with us. God does not call us to risk our lives in standing for his faith. We're not to give up the faith. We're not to compromise the faith. But there's no need to stand in one area for our faith if it's going to cause us the loss of life. When we have the freedom to leave that area and go and stand for the faith in a different place. And the promise is we'll not be able to cover every single city of the world before the Son of God comes. The message will, of course, do so. And praise God for the silent messengers, those printed tracts and booklets and other printed material that can go ahead of the messengers and reach the hearts of the people. So they fled from that city and came to Lystra and Derbe and other areas around, continuing to preach the gospel. Any other thoughts?
When they felt that they should go to, went to run, did God speak to them? Did he give them an impression? How did they know that they should go? Was the Holy Spirit talking to them?
Oh, I believe he was indeed. He was impressing them, hey, it's time to leave. So it was not just rumor that they heard. It was, well, it may have been rumor they heard, but they prayed to God and God verified it was more than just rumor. It was an actual plan in place to stone them to death. And God's Spirit also impressed them to leave. And that's how we must always be, especially when we're handling God's word of truth, is we must be humble servants and submissive to his will. Daniel knew that if he went and prayed, as he did three times a day, that it may cost him his life. And he was in a situation in which he couldn't flee. So he continued standing for his God, confessing him before men. And they tried to murder him, but God intervened. So if we're in a similar situation and there's nowhere for us to flee, we're not to compromise the faith. We're to continue to stand, even though it may cost us our lives. But if God impresses us to flee beforehand, then we're to do so. But I don't see anywhere in here where, you know, there was a prophet that came to them saying, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be stoned if you stay here any longer. You need to leave. But they were made aware of it. Verse 6, it says, they were made aware of it. There's a quotation from Maranatha, page 214, paragraph 5, and it says, foreign nations will follow the example of the United States. Though she leads out, yet the same crisis will come upon our people in all parts of the world. So amen, and thank you for that. We know it's coming. We need to get prepared, not just wait for it to arise upon us and then think we can handle it. But we're to get prepared now. And God in mercy allows different circumstances and situations to occur that are beyond our control so that we can prepare for the greater crisis coming by how we handle these little crises now. Amen. Comment in the room says, the safest place is where God wants us to work for him. Amen. Because if we're following his direction, well, he's going to take care of us. It's when we follow our own direction and deviate from God's will that we run into problems that can't be handled. So, amen.
And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down."
Thank you. So as Paul and Barnabas were preaching in Lystra, Paul noticed that there was a cripple in the midst of the audience, and he was impressed to heal him. But notice that Paul didn't go up to the man and put his hands upon him or give him some ointment or potion or whatever it was to heal him. He just said, "Stand upright on thy feet." So there was no physical interaction between Paul and this cripple. So there wasn't anything that Paul did to heal him, other than speak the words that God gave him to speak. But the man was healed. So we can see that it wasn't Paul that healed him. It was his faith in Christ, whom Paul was preaching, that healed the cripple. And it's the same today, only with hearts. Conversion to the truth is not accomplished by those who speak the truth. It's accomplished by the faith of the people in accepting the truth, in accepting Jesus. Now, a lot of time the minister takes the credit. Wow, you know, there was so many tens, hundreds, thousands of people that have received the gospel at my hands. But it wasn't at his hands at all. It was their faith in the truth, in Christ, that brought conversion to their hearts. Not the minister. Not the evangelist. Not the coal porter. Not the people passing out the tracts or printed materials. It's the people's acceptance of the truth, acceptance of Christ, that brings them salvation. After we've done everything that God has required of us, we're still unprofitable servants. All the glory goes to God, not to the human messenger. To God alone, the glory and the credit is to go to. So this cripple now is leaping and walking and praising God. But the people that were of Lystra were mainly pagan. They were heathen in understanding, following the mysteries of ancient Babylon, only with a Greek flavor to it, or Lyconian flavor. And when they saw the miracles that were taking place, through their darkened understanding, their colored glasses, if you will, they interpreted the healing, the miracle that had been done, as their gods coming down in the likeness of men. So here the gospel of salvation was preached, but they didn't recognize it as being different than their own religious beliefs, or they interpreted the message they heard with the coloration of spiritualism. And so they believed that Paul and Barnabas were their gods inhabiting humanity. And a lot of time the message, as it was then misunderstood, is also misunderstood today. If the people of Lystra would have taken the time to examine more closely and carefully the message that Paul and Barnabas were preaching, they would have seen that it wasn't their gods that wrought the miracle, but it was faith in Jesus Christ that healed the man. And if people today would take the time to closely and carefully examine the present truth, they would also see that it's not a message that's building up the apostate churches of Babylon, but it's a message that's tearing them down and uplifting Christ in their place. It's pointing people away from the churches to the Savior for salvation, away from man, away from the Pope, ministers, priests, prelates, directly to Jesus alone for their salvation. But a lot of times the message is misunderstood. And people are looking for a different church to go and become a member of and to follow different leaders. They're interpreting the message through their own colored glasses instead of through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and line upon line of God's Word. So what are the people going to do now that they believe that their Babylonian gods have come down in the likeness of Paul and Barnabas? And we'll find out more next time. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free. Okay, are there any prayer requests before we begin praying? Okay, thank you. A silent request. So let us please bow our heads and our knees, and whoever would like to pray, please feel free, and I'll go ahead and start. Precious Father, thank you so much that you're the Lord of the harvest and that you're sending more of your messengers into the harvest field and blessing their efforts and multiplying the spreading of the seed of truth. And that an abundant harvest is and will continue to take place for your glory and the enlarging of the kingdom of righteousness. Pray that you'll help each one of us to take the time to study the Word for ourselves, digging in and comparing the Scripture line upon line, here a little and there a little, to verify it, that we may be following the truth and not interpreting it according to our own colored vision, but may interpret it by the Bible and allow thy word to show us the truth. Thank you that more and more people are being awakened by the message of salvation, more and more decisions being made either for or against it, that the righteous as well as the wicked are waking up from their sleep. Sides are being chosen, and the wicked, of course, are going to become more and more angry as the truth grows brighter and brighter and fills a greater portion of the world. And various persecutions will take place and are occurring around the world. People are even losing their lives for standing for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And this persecution will continue until every person of this earth has made their decision for or against the truth. Please prepare us to stand for thee. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that come, that we might learn how to endure, how to trust more in thee, and to remain steadfast and immovable on a thus saith the Lord, that we may be more prepared for what is coming. And thank you, Father, for not leaving us or forsaking us in Christ Jesus. And thank you, Spirit, for encouraging us as well as purifying us in preparation for eternal life. Be with all of those who have asked for prayers. Be with the silent requests and unspoken petitions. And thank you for hearing and answering each spoken as well as unspoken request according to thy will and timing. We love you, Father, and Savior, and Spirit, and thank you for your love for each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for all the beauty we see in the world and for impressing us when we should speak the good word about your soon coming. And please help me when someone mentions a kindness that I've done to not say thank you and think that I'm really somebody for being kind, but to let them know that it's because of you that I am kind, because there would be no kindness in me or love in me at all had it not been that you loved me first and taught me how. Be with those that are needing you right now, those silent prayers that are being said. Let everyone know that you hear them and that you do answer prayers. We may not see the evidence as soon as we would like, but we know that you do answer those prayers. Help us to keep searching out the truth and put us in contact with people that you want us to speak to about you and your blessings and your love. And if the conditions of the world come up, may we always bring them hope of a better life if they accept you and follow your word. Thank you for this day. And thank you in advance for a good, restful night. And help us to keep the eight doctors in our mind, in our actions. And help us to receive the fruit of all of the healthful living, the cheerfulness that works a medicine. Thank you for hearing this prayer and bless each of us in this room tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege of coming together to study your word unmolested. You know, the time's coming when we will be molested. As I see the wickedness in this world increasing, or at least my awareness of it, it's of how it's increasing, I'm appalled. I don't understand why time must delay and you not come unless it's because I'm not ready. And if that's the case, I thank you, though others are suffering. I have a petition. I pray for Lloyd and Sandra, friends who I haven't seen for 40 years or more, maybe 50, that suddenly came back into my awareness through email. At one time he was an ardent Christian, a missionary, but he went to school and studied psychology and went all the way to a PhD. And in the process, he studied what he calls the great religions of the world. And it's left him an agnostic, a secular humanist. He says his religion most nearly resembles non-mystical Buddhism. Wow. I just pray that you'll prick their hearts. They'll remember the truths that are hidden there and have been for 50 years. And as they see things happening in the world, that they will recognize them as signs of your coming. Though they don't even believe in you now, help them to come back and believe in you once again. Bless Brother Wellington. I haven't heard recently, but I know he was hurt. He got hit by a police car and he was in the hospital. I just pray that his wounds are healing and that he'll be able to get back to into service for you soon. We thank you for the warm weather we've had. Actually, it's been a little warmer than we cared for, 107 the other day. But
and dear Father, I pray that you'll be with Sister Diane, and please help her broken ankle to heal, to be put back in place, and that the pain will not be bad, and that she may be able to resume an active life in the next few weeks. And thank you, Savior, for being her great physician, and that it was not worse than it is. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And also, dear Father, I pray that you'll be with our dear brother Robert and continue to work in his life and to lead him into a closer, loving relationship with his Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And dear Father, thank you for bringing these to mind. I pray that you'll be with our dear brother Mike and others that are searching for work, and that you will allow them to find the perfect job and responsibility soon, and will bring them back to financial stability in thy timing. And thank you for hearing these prayers. In thy name, amen. And amen. And praise God and thank you, Holy Spirit, for indicting our prayer and making it so much more smooth with just the right words that needs to be there. Romans 8:26 is a precious promise. Are there any songs, any comments, questions? Testimonies that you'd like to share, please go right ahead.
I wanted to thank everyone here for worshiping with me, and I wanted to thank the Lord for connecting me with truth. And I could have easily, it's very easy with all these thousands, maybe millions of religions in the world to be confused or lost. But God has been very good to me, and he has led me in the right direction. And I just wanted to say that, yes, there's a lot of religions. I just wanted to say that I am very blessed to be connected with the truth, and I'm thankful for everything that Elder Bob has done and family. I'm thankful for the efforts everyone in the remnant in this group that has done to help me along. And also, dear Elder, I started working about 2 months ago. The Lord blessed me with a job, because I don't know if everyone knows, I was injured roughly about a year ago, and I was out of work for a long time, and I was not able to work in the same field. But God has been very good to me in all matters, and I just wanted to say how good the Lord is and thank him. And I wanted to thank each and every one of you for just being there for me and worshiping together. I know we'll all be in heaven together, and amen and praise the Lord.
Well, amen, dear brother, and praise God indeed for allowing you to find work and suited to what your abilities are at this time. So praise God, and we're glad to have you a part of our church family, brother, and glad that the Lord protected you and kept you in the faith and brought you into fellowship with us. Praise God indeed. Been a wonderful service tonight, dear ones, and thank you so much for thy merciful kindness, dear Father. Thank you, dear ones, for your participation and joining in this service tonight. Pray that God will continue to lead and guide, and may work in your and your family's interests and welfare until we're able to meet again in fellowship and in brotherly and sisterly union. And dear brother, it's okay if when you pray you stumble in your words. That's perfectly fine. We're all striving to speak to our God, and God listens to our heart, not so much to the words that are spoken, but to our heart. That's what he listens to the most. And then we also have the promise that the Spirit will also indite our prayer and plead before him the words we know not how to say. So have no fear. God loves to hear your voice. So don't be afraid next time. And in closing, dear ones, this hymn came to mind, and please feel free to take a verse. We're pressing on the upward way, new heights we're gaining every day. Still praying as we're onward bound, Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than we have found. Lord, plant our feet on high.
Our heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, our prayer, our aim is higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than we have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground.
We want to live above the world, the Satan's darts that us are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than we have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground.
We want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still we'll pray till heaven we've found. Lord, lead us on to higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than we have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. And dear ones, I count it a privilege to be in company with you all in striving that higher ground and pressing on day by day up that straight, narrow path to salvation. Thank you for being my brothers and sisters in this precious faith. So until we meet again in fellowship in just a couple days, may God go with each one.